from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, wherever you are. Now I would like to tell you the programs for today's edition of our programs. We will begin with the news that is followed by Commander Ray, Today in History, My Indonesia, Indonesian Wonder, and My Language. And then, to end today's edition, we will be presenting the musics in the Music Corner. Well then, listener, happy listening!
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and Malaysia register poem as the World Heritage of UNESCO. Malaysia hopes Indonesia can hold Asian Para Games successfully. Now the news in details. Poem is a Malay cultural heritage which is familiar with Indonesian and Malaysian people. It has proven that the two countries have closer history and culture. Therefore, Malaysia Deputy Ambassador to Indonesia, Jamsyari Shaharan, in his speech at the commemoration of Malaysia National Day in Jakarta on Wednesday, invited Indonesian government to jointly register POEM as non-tangible world heritage to the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization, UNESCO.
Salah satu titik ini adalah
one of similarities is social and cultural factor that makes Indonesia and Malaysia as allied countries. 2018 is good year if Indonesia and Malaysia jointly register POEM as non-tangible world heritage to the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization or UNESCO. We must improve and explore efforts in other fields.
Moreover, Ambassador Jamsyari explained that the similarity of culture and history between Indonesia and Malaysia must be main base and foundation for togetherness in creating allied nations, which is glorious and respectful in the world. He also invited Indonesia to go hand in hand with Malaysia in order to be developed countries. Malaysian Deputy Ambassador to Indonesia, Jamsyari Shaharan, expressed congratulations on Indonesia after becoming a host of Asian Games 2018 in August until September. In his speech at the commemoration of Malaysian National Day in Jakarta on Wednesday, Ambassador Jamsyari said that Indonesia has shown its seriousness as friendly host. Therefore, he is sure that Indonesia will be a great host for Asian Para Games 2018 in October 2018.
While we are in the mood, in this festive and joyous mood, allow me to take this opportunity to congratulate the government of Indonesia and its people for the successful hosting of the Asian Games 2018. Not just a gracious host, Indonesia also showed its grit by becoming the sole representative from Southeast Asia in the top 5 highest gold medal earner with 31 gold. Congratulations and well done, Indonesia. We hope to see similar success in the hosting of the Asia Para Games in October 2018.
Moreover, Jamsyari said that possibly Minister of Youth and Sport of Malaysia, Syed Shadiq, will attend directly to support the big event of Asian Para Games 2018 in Jakarta. The Asian Para Games 2018 is the continuation of Asian Games 2018 that took place at the beginning of September 2018. Meanwhile, Asian Para Games 2018 will be held on October 6 to 13, 2018. It will be followed by about 3,000 disabled athletes from 43 countries in Asia, and there are 18 sport branches competed. Indonesian government through Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry has handed over 3 Indonesian citizens who have been held hostage by Abu Sayyaf Armed Group in the South Philippines to their family after being successfully freed on September 15, 2018. The three Indonesian citizens are crews of fishing boat Flag Malaysia PN8384F. They were kidnapped while catching fish in Taganak Water, Sabah, Malaysia, on January 18, 2017. After the handing over process held on September 19, 2018, Indonesian Ambassador to Philippines, Sinyo Hari Sarundajang, said that the condition of the three Indonesian citizens is healthy, while firstly they were handed over by military of the Philippines. Based on the testimony, Indonesian citizens never got violence during the hostage. They are Hamdan bin Salim, Suban Desato, and Sudarlan Samansung from South Sulawesi. No, there is only ineffective sometimes. Maybe it is an effort for them to talk with their big boss. It can be, but it happened. The hostage got meals. In fact, they are healthy. Moreover, Sinyo Hari Sarundajang explained that there was no ransom for being freeing the three hostages. Thus, the release of the Indonesian citizen has taken time for 18 months. The government of Indonesia and the Philippines were very careful with the process of freeing the victims. This news has come to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The working visit of the Indonesian Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing, Basuki Hadimulyono, to South Korea for 3 days, from September 16 to 18, strengthens the cooperation between the two countries, especially in the infrastructure sector. Escorted by the National Radio News Agency, the visit was also a follow-up to the visit of President Joko Widodo to Korea on September 9 to 11. During his visit, President Joko Widodo came to look at Cheongyesun River, which has been revitalized and is now an essential public space for Seoul City residents. According to the president, the Cheongcheon River is a very good inspiration for the Ciliwung River in Jakarta. In 2003, Cheongyesun River was the same as Ciliwung, and within 2 years and 3 months, it became very clean. As a follow-up, the Ministry of Public Works and Housing with Korean Water Resources Corporation signed a Memorandum of Understanding on Water Resources Management conducted by the Director General of Water Resources, Hari Suprayogi, with Division Vice President of Overseas Business CPO, Do Soo Park, and witnessed by Minister Basuki in Seoul on Wednesday. Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution said that the scope of the industrial sector that receives a certain period of corporate income tax exemption facility or tax holiday will be expanded. The government decides to review and add to the sector coverage because not many parties invest facilities for tax holidays. Antaranus agency reported that Minister Darmin Nasution pointed out in Jakarta on Wednesday that there are several potential industrial sectors to be granted tax holiday facilities, but he is still unwilling to disclose the industrial sector in question. He also expressed that the detailed point and review of the tax holiday facility are still not yet discussed by the related stakeholders. The government has previously established 17 pioneer industries that receive tax holidays facilities as stipulated in the Minister of Finance Regulation No. 35/2018 concerning the granting of income tax deductions facilities of agencies. Indonesia keeps contributing to strengthen the technical cooperation program developed by the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, in the field of peaceful use of nuclear technology in order to support the achievement of sustainable development goals. Antaranus agency reported that Indonesian ambassador to Austria, concurrently Indonesian permanent representative accredited to the International Atomic Energy Agency, Darmansyah Jumala, said that the assistance and technical cooperation of the IAEA are used not only for the benefit of the people nationally, but also for the benefit of other countries, especially in the framework of South-South cooperation through practical arrangement signed during the visit of Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Yukiya Amano, to Indonesia last February. This was affirmed by Ambassador Darmansyah Jumala in his statement as chair of the Indonesian delegation at the 62nd General Meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency in Vienna, Austria, from Monday to Friday. Government targets the transaction value at the 33rd Trade Expo Indonesia TFI to be 23.3 trillion rupiah or 1.5 billion US dollar. This target is more than the previous year, which has only 16.3 trillion rupiah or 1.1 billion US dollars. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Director General of National Export Development at the Ministry of Trade, Arlinda Saad, in South Tangerang on Wednesday, that to achieve these targets, the Ministry of Trade is committed to bringing in as many buyers as possible. Until Wednesday, 2,000 buyers have been registered to attend this event. The Ministry of Trade is targeting 28,000 visitors to attend the exhibition, which will be held on October 24 to 28 at ISBSD Tangerang, Banten. The Ministry of Trade also targets the number of 1,100 participants, including producers, exporters, and suppliers of Indonesian goods and services who want to expand the market to the international arena. Arlinda added that organizing international trade exhibition is one way to keep increasing export so that economy can continue to grow. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nika Kusumawati.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is Indonesian SEC Cooperation. When the global economic situation is fluctuating and the domestic economic condition is also last by severe tests of the effects of the world situation, the government of Indonesia needs cooperation and builds cooperation in all fields with foreign countries. Moreover, the rupiah exchange rate tends to weaken, even though it is not as serious as 1997 crisis. Thus, the increased investment and export are a form of efforts that can stimulate the national economy. Regarding the improvement of domestic economy, the government of Indonesia and the SEC Republic begin to collaborate through investment and exports. This was affirmed in a speech by President Joko Widodo when he received a visit from the SEC delegation at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. At the meeting, President Joko Widodo expressed his commitment to keep advancing cooperation with the SEC Republic in various fields, especially in trade and industry. In addition, President Joko Widodo also asked the SEC Republic to support Indonesian palm oil products in the European market. Meanwhile, the chairman of the SEC Republic delegation, Milan Stach, said that the SEC Republic offered opportunities for cooperation and investment in the field of manufacturing, health, and education industry to the government of Indonesia. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Airlangga Hartarto also asked for support from the SEC government as one of the European Union member states to be able to help accelerate the Comprehensive Economic Negotiation Partnership Agreement, SEPA, with the European Union as Indonesia has done with Australia. Minister Airlangga Hartarto also remarked that there are several Indonesian manufacturing products that have the potential to penetrate the SEC market, including textile and clothing, wood-based furniture and pulp and paper. In addition, cooperation in the rubber, pharmaceutical and mini hydro technology sectors from renewable energy is also explored. Indeed, what the SEC government offers to Indonesia is a good potential to increase the performance of the national economy, which tends to stagnate. The interest of the SEC Republic to build more serious cooperation is a positive response to the visit of Indonesian delegation in May 2018. Business opportunities to increase export by conducting bilateral cooperation are one of the most powerful solutions, even though it takes time to make a memorandum of understanding. In addition, special incentives by Indonesia are needed for foreign investors to advance the domestic industry. At least what is offered to the two countries in advancing their economic performance is a good point amidst uncertain world economy. Hopefully, the cooperation agreement will be immediately followed by both governments in a bid to stimulate the domestic economy, which tends to weaken, especially export performance. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program, Today in History, over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start from an event on September 20, 1946. Cannes Film Festival was held for the first time. Cannes Film Festival was held for the first time on September 20, 1946 in Cannes, France. Furthermore, the festival is held every May except in certain years. The Cannes Festival becomes media for entrepreneurs to launch the newest films or to sell their works to distributors throughout the world. The most prestigious award, which is given in Cannes, is Palme d'Or for the best film. The next event is that in 1979, coup d'état in Republic of Central Africa overthrew President David Deco. Republic of Central Africa is a state in the hinterland of Africa, which borders with Chad, Sudan, Republic of Democratic Congo, Republic of Congo, and Cameroon. In the past, the state was the colony of France named Ubangisari that gained its independence in 1960. On September 20, 1979, by supporting of France, David Deco launched bloodless coup d'état and overthrew President Bokassa. But Deco's efforts to restore economy of the state failed. On September 20, 1981, David Deco was overthrown in the bloodless coup led by General André Kolimba. Kolimba immediately replaced the constitution with military law. For 4 years, Kolimba rule Central Africa with military government. And the last event is that in 2004, general election of Indonesian president and vice president was held for the first time. Since 2004, Indonesia has new mechanism in presidential election. Earlier, the president was determined through the vote of people representative at the House of Representatives or People's Consultative Assembly. However, in 2004, the election of president and vice president was directly determined by the people's votes. This means that all Indonesian people who have the voting rights to choose can directly vote the president. In the first general presidential election, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Yusuf Kalla became the winner for the 2004-2009 period. They passed two rounds. In the two rounds, which were conducted on September 20th, they obtained the most votes. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to My Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll bring you a topic about the assessment and application of technology and application agency, BPPT, developing ranking system of peatland fires. The Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology developed a peatland fire disaster rating system to support monitoring of the risk of forest and land fires. The head of BPPT, Unggul Prianto, on the sidelines of the National Seminar of Regional Resource Development Technology Center at BPPT Building, Jakarta on Tuesday said that the rating system of fire disaster, SPBK, currently has been applied in Indonesia. However, the system still refers to the system or algorithm from other countries in subtropical region and relies on climate data. The application is bilaterally done along with the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency, BMKG, as well as the National Aeronautics and Space Institution, LAPAN. Unggul Priyanto explained, in addition to the weather component, the rating system of fire disaster, SPBK, related to human activity components, including fuel and water distribution and water sources to overcome peat drought. The latter is a component of money losses due to peatland fires. Unggul Priyanto also said that there is needed natural resources accounting to find out the value of losses when the fire happened on the use of certain land. According to Unggul Priyanto, the research of study of peatland has been conducted for a long time by BPPT. The agency is contributed to help acceleration in peatland management, which beneficial economically in a corridor of good environment management. The result has been implemented through the peatland management policy, spatial layout, and peatland utilization governance. During the time, the fire that often occurred mostly were peatland fire. Therefore, BPPT, in cooperation with various institutions, such as the Ministry of Environment and Forestry and private parties, have made effort to keep the peatland remain wet so as it is not easily burned. The implementation of the system covering the installation of monitoring equipment in forest and land fires prone areas. Meanwhile, Director of Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology, BPPT, Yudi Anantesena, said it is expected that starting from the end of this year, parameters had been obtained and equipped with data. Then the system is submitted to the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency. The system is designed to monitor peat fires prone areas and to confirm the existence of hotspots, considering that firefighters are still using hotspots as a guide. Therefore, the agency wants to ensure the hotspots from several parameters. Yudi Anantasena added that the peatland fire disaster rating system would be prioritized in peatland fire-prone areas in South Sumatra, Jambi, Riau, Central Kalimantan, and West Kalimantan. That was My Indonesia for today's edition.
Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. The working visit of the Indonesian Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Basuki Hadi Mulyono, of South Korea for 3 days from September 16 to 18 strengthens the cooperation between the two countries. Coordinating Minister of Economic Affairs Darmina Sution said that the scope of the industrial sector that receive a certain period of corporate income tax exemption facility or tax holiday will be expanded. Indonesia keeps contributing to strengthen the technical cooperation program developed by the International Atomic Energy Agency IAEA in the field of peaceful use of nuclear technology in order to support the achievement of sustainable development goals. Government targets the transaction value at the 33rd Trade Expo Indonesia, or TFI, to be 23.3 trillion rupiah, or $1.5 billion. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, wherever you are. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you about Curug Pamutuh or Pamutuh Waterfall. Stay tuned. Tasikmalaya, the city which can be reached in 6 hours of travel from Jakarta, is known as the city of small and medium enterprises because the city has a myriad types of craft that can absorb thousands of workers. The distinctive handicrafts from Tasikmalaya such as embroidery that has been known worldwide, payung gelis, an icon of West Java, kolom gelis, an original traditional sandals made by the local people, the typical batik of Tasikmalaya, and other types of crafts. In addition to its famous crafts, Tasikmalaya also becomes a tourist destination with stunning tourism objects. One of them is Curug Pamutu or Pamutu Waterfall. The word Pamutu or Pamutus comes from rituals that are often carried out by people who come to the object. Pamutus means break, or deliberately breaking away from everything that binds themselves to God Almighty. Unlike the curug or waterfall in general, the Curug Pamutu lies on the flow of water beside the cliff wall and immediately falls into the lowy or pool. The water flow is not too heavy, so you can enjoy exotic panorama. Moreover, the curug is surrounded by green plants. Curug Pamutu also has a quite wide pool called Lowy Hejok. The name was inspired by color of the water in the pool. In Sundanese, Hejok means green. Initially, the waterfall did not have a pool and green color, but due to the landslides from the cliff wall, the river flow then blocked and formed a deep and green pool. You can swim in the pool as much as you can. However, due to the pool is quite deep, you have to be careful, especially for those who cannot swim. They can still enjoy the water by swimming using a float. Curug Pamutu is located in Geger Hanjuang Village, Lingga Mulya, Lewisari Sub-District, Tasikmalaya Regency. To reach Curug Pamutu, it takes about 1 hour from Tasikmalaya. The location of the waterfall is on the slopes of Gunung Galunggung, just behind the area of Geger Hanjuang inscription, an Indonesian historical heritage site in Tasikmalaya. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic about Curug Pamutu in Tasikmalaya. We will meet again with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listeners, this is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. This edition highlights a topic: 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival. Stay tuned. Listeners, on August the 12th, 2018, the biggest shopping event known as the 2018 Jakarta Great Sale Festival was officially opened at One Belpark Mall in Jakarta. organized with the theme Spirit of Jakarta, the event has been conducted from 12th of August to 5th of September 2018. According to the chief committee of the 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival, Alan Hidayat, the 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival is held in August 2018 in order to support the government of Jakarta in a bid to enliven and make the international event of the 2018 Asian Games be successful. Furthermore, the purpose of organizing the 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival is due to the expectation of presenting Jakarta as a competent host that gives the best service and provides various quality products with affordable prices. The event is also the right momentum to introduce Jakarta as the paradise and shopping destination to the Asian countries. Listeners, this year 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival is followed by 82 malls in Jakarta with more than 2,000 stores giving discount up to 70%. Various interesting events are also carried out during the Jakarta Great Sail Festival. Take for example, the Midnight Sale will be conducted every Sunday in turn at 16 shopping centers in Jakarta. There will be also be shopped per card price lottery at 40 malls whose shopping voucher price is worth 150 million rupiah. The committee of the 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival also establishes cooperation with the small and medium enterprises under the assistance of the Council for National Handicraft Indonesia of Jakarta, or Dekranasda, and the OKOC program, which will sell various traditional handicrafts of Jakarta and Indonesia at 15 shopping centers. Besides shopping centers, there are 8 hotels which will participate in giving special package and offer during the 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival period. The 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival will also carry out mass blood donation at 41 shopping centers during this Great Sail Festival. Listeners, the 2018 Jakarta Great Festival is held to commemorate the anniversary of Jakarta. The grand event started being introduced to the society in the 1980s, exactly in 1982. The government of Jakarta Province initiated a shopping event called the Pertokoan or Shops Festival at that time. The festival was then changed into the discount party, and in the 1990s, the festival's name was again changed into the Jakarta Great Sail Festival like the current one. The 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival is organized in August in order to run together with the momentum of the 2018 Asian Games. This year, the sale of retail in the Jakarta Great Sail Festival is targeted to reach around 3 trillion to 4 trillion. That was miscellany about the 2018 Jakarta Great Sail Festival. Thank you for listening.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. For today's edition, we will dedicate some beautiful songs from Christine Panjaitan. Let us listen to the first song entitled Katakan Sejujurnya, sung by Christine Panjaitan. Listeners, that's the song entitled Katakan Sejujurnya, sung by Christine Panjaitan, a singer with complete name Christine Natalina Panjaitan, started her career through the song Katakan Sejujurnya. It was composed by Rinto Harahap and released in 1987. It tells about a hidden thing in the deepest heart of someone. He or she wanted to know what has been felt by the admirer. Is it the same as he felt or only unilaterally? The song, katakan sejujurnya, was very popular around 1980s and still be memorized all the time. Some musicians in Indonesia have rearranged the song, such as Armada Band, that has re-released the song, katakan sejujurnya, in 2014. Listeners, let us present the next song entitled Sudah Kubilang by Christine Panjaitan. Listeners, besides the song entitled Katakan Sejujurnya, Christine Panjaitan also has another famous song entitled Sudah Kubilang. The song has a good message. As a humankind, we should not to follow fully willingness to love someone. Listeners, now let us listen to a song Kau, Dia, dan Aku by Christine Panjaitan.
Kau daki
Listeners, to end the segment of Music Corner for today, I will present the last song entitled Untuk Mama. Thank you for listening. I am Ahmad Faisal. Say goodbye to you all. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan biarkan sakit hatimu, biarkan tangis merintih. Jangan sedih, jangan kau risaukan, memang hidup penuh derita. Jangan simpan dalam hatimu, biar tangismu untukku. Biarkan mereka tersenyum, biarkan mereka tertawa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast on shortwave on frequencies of 3325 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.